Oh.
Can we take a minute, Hal? Is that
sure.
All right?
Sure. Gender talk.
No. Wait.
Problem is, Western culture has about 400,000 too many pictures of the Last Supper.
That doesn't make you feel horny at all.
Speaking the language of gender. Gender talk.
I think we need to work on our language to improve it to handle more That's diversity clear. Of gender and sex.
You were just talking. Who are you? Who are you, anyway?
It depends on who the voices in my head are telling me I am.
Pick one.
Okay, Karen.
Gender talk. On the web at gendertalk.com.
They were bad little boys and girls,
What'd
so they
do?
Canceled the party.
Oh.
They were bad little boys and girls,
What'd
so they
do?
Canceled the party.
Oh.
Hello again, this is Gender Talk, worldwide radio that talks about transgenderism in the first person. Each week we bring you news, information, and exciting new voices that challenge our traditional view of gender and more. Tonight we're going to visit with two tall blondes, Kate Bornstein and Barbara Karelis. Their new play, which opens in Boston in a few days, is all about gender and sexual variety and love, and we'll find out all about it.
Kate Bornstein and Barbara Karelis on Gender Talk. Doing a selection from Two Tall Blondes in Love.
Finding the tranny's character's G-spot is a pretty funny scene.
Ah!
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Do you have any words that you could share from the script with us and our listeners?
Well, we could probably do a little bit from that G-spot scene.
Oh,
please.
Would you?
Okay, let's see
okay.
if we got some here.
Can you do it?
Great.
So the two of them are, you know, this is the first time they're getting together, and they haven't been together very long, and they're really ostensibly just getting together to explore the tranny's body to find out, you know, what makes it tick. Because the bisexual girl's name is Raven, the tranny's girl's name is Allie,
oh.
and
Allie is like the answer to Raven's dreams from a work perspective, because she's been noticing the blurring of male and female happening in her sex workshop.
So now they're about to explore Allie's genitals. Here we go.
I'm going to touch you now, okay?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and at this point, Allie crosses her legs and looks away.
Okay, let's just wait a minute. Breathe. Okay, good girl, this is me. This isn't anyone who ever hurt you. This is me, and I respect you, and I respect your body, and I want to help you find out delightful things about yourself. I want you to find out just how beautiful you are and just how much bliss you're capable of, okay?
Okay. Yeah, well, please, yeah, let's do it.
Okay, then. Here we go. First, a little loop.
Well, that's nice.
Okay, and now I'm going to try to find your G-spot, if you have one.
Yeah, well,
Did you feel something special there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Is that it?
Yeah, well, that's where it usually is.
You're a real girl.
You are a real girl.
You know what I mean.
No, I don't. You're as real a girl as I've ever met.
Gender Talk at gendertalk.com. As you can tell, this is no ordinary gender talk. No, this is Gender Talk Gems. Some of our most engaging interviews, or at least the intro unto them, with Karen and I doing the usual half hour's worth of blather that includes the question of the week, the twisted nasty news, and the perennial favorite segment, Things Stuck in Our Heads. So to spice in the mix, I brought in some friends, Marcia Deal and WMBR DJ Peter Choice, and you'll be hearing them on various subjects here tonight on Gender Talk. Special edition.
The abuse of Earth's natural resources has created a storm that many animals and their habitats cannot weather. Help World Wildlife Fund give them shelter from the storm.
Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm.
You can protect animals and the places where they live by ordering a free World Wildlife Fund action kit. Call 1-800-CALL-WWF or visit worldwildlife.org. Together, we can leave our children a living planet.
Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm.
Good evening. I'm Hal Fuller, and you're listening to Gender Talk.
Yeah.
Welcome to Gender Talk, speaking the language of gender and more. While Nancy and Gordine are wending their way back across America, we are here, the faithful few, bringing you Gender Talk Gems, some of the best of our shows. Tonight we'll be revisiting Jane Ellen and Mary Frances Fairfax, a couple who have been tireless activists for transgender issues, particularly for crossdressers and their partners. And a special moment with Patrick Califia Rice, therapist, renowned author on sexual repression in America, and transgender parent, talking of revision of his groundbreaking work, Public Sex. And since we do everything in public, we have the Twisted Nasty News, happenings round and out and about, and much more tonight, here on Gender Talk.
I mean, you and I aren't the gems of Gender Talk.
We got top billing. Do you see that on the website?
See, it says Gender Talk Gems, and I thought that was you and me.
Uh-huh.
That we're very gem-like. We're sparkly.
The family jewels here. And you were just talking. Who are you? Who are you, anyway?
It depends on who the voices in my head are telling me I am.
Pick one.
Okay. Karen.
Okay, and I'm Hal. And we have someone else coming in, I think, maybe. Maybe? Hello?
Ah, there goes our... Wait a minute, there's that phone. I'll bet we have a caller. Do we have a caller? I can see. Let's see if we can punch our caller into the board. This is very exciting for us here at Gender Talk. We're becoming phone-enabled again. Hello, caller, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Ah!
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we sure can.
Oh, cowabunga.
Now, who might this be?
This is a fan from Cambridge.
Marcia, can you hear us?
Marcia, can you hear us?
I'm boogieing in the armchair.
That's good. It's so nice to have you. A longtime Gender Talk contributor, bisexual activist, politico, street musician. Any of that sound familiar?
Yeah.
How about your significant other?
Other what?
The other foot. The shoe on the other foot.
Well, again, Nancy and Gordine are, I guess at this point, driving back to New England from Albuquerque. We wish them well. And for those of you who might have been concerned, they got the house. So they now have a place to live. Isn't that wonderful?
It's a nice place to live with a nature conservancy in the back so they can't have condos springing up like mushrooms. That's the good news.
Yeah. Yeah, they seem to like the position of their house. I'm sorry, I'm dealing with technical stuff here tonight. And again, we will have several interviews which are pre-taped. And Nancy and Gordine, I believe, are planning to be back for the show on 8/27.
Which means I've got to get my butt out of Nancy's seat.
Again.
Yeah, don't forget to polish it up.
It is polished. I've been keeping it warm.
Okay. Well, Marcia and I went to see something over the weekend, which sounded something like this. Why isn't anything working tonight?
Ghosts.
I guess.
Get on it. Drop the needle on the rest of the season.
Don't you know me? I'm a new bird in war, baby.
and the world loves it for me. And the lights go down across the train of thought. I get down, I feel hot, feel on the verge of going mad. And it's time to punch the clock.
To be free, one must give up a little part of oneself.
My sex team's operation got bought. My guardian angel fell asleep on the watch. Now all I've got is a Bobby doll crock.
Yes, yes, yes. Went to see Hedwig and the Angry Inch playing at the Harvard Square Theater. It's playing at other theaters around the area. And I think it is wonderful. It is a great movie. It's been called one of the best rock musicals that's ever been made. And I think so. What do you think, Marcia?
I think Hedwig is the Tommy of the 21st century. I think Hedwig is the, as you said, what's the one? Rocky Horror Show.
Well, it's kind of Rocky meets Tommy.
Our generation.
I say that because Rocky is all fluff, and Hedwig actually is, it's very well, the lyrics are wonderful, the music is great, and the acting is incredible, I thought.
But the writing is much not like Rocky. The writing has incredible spiritual and intellectual goodies and depth. You know, the whole thing about Plato, the two halves looking for each other, and there were two things. Talk about what's different than the play.
Well, remember, not a lot of our listeners may have seen the play, so it's...
It played a lot. It played in New York and Boston, in the big cities.
There's animation. The animation is fun.
It's very whimsical. It's Hubley, and I think it's the daughter of the mother named Hubley who did a beautiful little cartoon in the 60s or 70s called Windy Day, a little kid on a swing. And this little whimsical kind of, not Peter Max, like gentle Peter Max fantasies. And the other great part is, since it's a film, if you saw the stage thing, the film has scenes of who is in the audience when they're playing these dives. And each audience is this wonderful cut of Americana, going from bored to disgusted. A lot of, it looks like Catskill audiences, a lot of fairly, unfortunately, stereotypical-looking Jewish people, but most of whom really got into it. One biker who yelled faggot and attacked, but there was the, tell them about the scene in the Menzies Music Festival.
Don't give it all away. Let us simply say that there are some quotes that people in the community will thoroughly appreciate. There are some in-jokes in there, folks.
Yeah, that's, I wanted to not give it all away, but
okay.
Watch for the Menzies Music Festival.
Although we are not supposed to do this, this reviewer highly recommends that you go see Hedwig. It is not only a good rendition of the play, it's a good film. It's moving, fun, campy, draggy. I laughed, I cried. What do you want?
It asks very important questions about what is a man and what is a woman and what is a significant other, and it answers a lot of them. And it leaves a lot up in the, it's just very evoking. Yeah, evoking.
So again, go see Hedwig. That's my recommendation.
Ta-da!
Ta-da! And now, maybe it's time for our question of the week, brought to you by...
Nancy. She sent them to us.
Yeah, but who's going to read them?
Oh! Okay. Does it matter which one I do?
Pick one. Your choice.
Okay. I'll do this. I think Marshall liked this one. In all sense of wanting to fit in as a female, can it be that bisexuals aren't really secure about their sexuality and take both forks, yet still be confused on what road to take? I have recently discovered my attraction to females, which at first I brushed off as jealousy, but now I've been better informed about the gender disorder. I don't know what to think of it.
What's the question?
Huh?
I think...
What's the person's name? Is
this
there
is Rachel from Santa Monica, California, and I think Rachel was kind of combining a few things
yeah.
in this question.
In all sense of wanting to fit in as a female, can it be that bisexuals aren't really secure about their sexuality and take both forks, yet still be confused on which road to take? That sounds like the, oh, you'll grow out of it argument.
Well, there's a bisexual button that says, I came to... a fork in the woods, and I took both, or ouch, or something like that. But but the part I don't understand, which fascinates me, is I thought it was jealousy. Does she mean she admired other women and then decided to fall in love with them instead?
Well, that's an old question in the transgender community. Is it be with or be?
Right, but she's a genetic woman, theoretically, asking this question.
Female. I think she is male to female.
I was... guessing male to female
yeah.
because it says in all senses
of being a woman
as wanting to fit in as female.
She's recently discovered her attraction to females.
But now that I've been better informed about the gender disorder.
Well, I have one piece of advice, which is if you meet someone you fall in love with, that's the important thing.
Yeah,
not
parts
what
is parts.
Call yourself.
As they say.
Hmm?
Parts is parts.
And labels is labels. I know several people doing the exact same thing who choose all different labels, and it's a self-made option to call yourself something, as we all know.
I think sometimes you can think about something too much.
But, I mean, I can vouch for being a, for sure, bisexual by history and by inklings from a young age, and... doesn't mean I can't love one person.
Or that you're confused.
I don't think I'm confused. I'm finding out more all the time. It makes me feel even more bisexual. So there are some that exist that aren't confused. So I think this person, if they want to call themselves bisexual, it's fine. If they don't, it's fine. The point is to love. The point is to find someone you can love.
Well, maybe, Rachel, and I think Marcia kind of hinted on this, is if you don't know what to think about it, don't feel it.
Yeah. Lose your mind and come to your senses.
And sometimes I think you can just think about something too much
oh, yeah.
that it makes you crazy.
Well, it's fun to think about stuff. That's how queer theorists get their PhD. But that's not about feeling, just like Hal said.
I mean, we could all be getting our PhDs. And gender talk?
You got them.
Oh, okay.
No. Wait,
I dropped the cord here.
I mean, I'm not sure I'm ready to go here.
Why is that?
Yeah. Okay. Now,
we're taking a minute, Hal? Is that
sure.
right?
Are we
yeah.
taking a minute?
Real quick.
Okay.
That was my virtual Nancy and Gordine, which you'll be hearing throughout the show. I felt lonely that they weren't here.
Yeah.
Do you have little dolls stuff that look like them?
No.
Hey, it's not Miss. When you said little dolls, it looked like them. All I could think of is voodoo.
No, I was thinking about pins and the dolls.
And now, it's time for this theme and the gender talk, twisted, nasty news. That was Teddy Bear's Picnic and will be Teddy Bear's Picnic. From Philadelphia, a U.S. federal appeals court has ruled that firing a person, listen to this carefully, firing a person because of their sexual orientation is legal. The court upheld a 1998 lower court ruling which threw out a suit by a man who sued the Philadelphia Coca-Cola bottling company alleging he had been subjected to harassment and fired for being gay. In the court papers, John Bibby said he was assaulted when he'd returned to work. He had been threatened to be fired because he fell asleep on the job and he was having health problems. But the day he returned to work, he was harassed on the basis of his sexual orientation, and it continued the following month by coworkers and managers. Lawyers for the company denied the claim, but the case did not go to trial because U.S. District Judge Jean E. Dubois dismissed the suit on the grounds that harassment of discrimination based on sexual orientation was not covered by U.S. civil rights laws. According to U.S. Circuit Court Judge Marianne Trump Berry, who wrote for the unanimous three-judge panel, Congress has not seen fit to provide protection against such harassment because the evidence produced by Bibby, and indeed his very claim, indicated only that he was being harassed on the basis of his sexual orientation rather than the cause of his sex. The district court properly determined that there was no cause for action. Now, this may sound nasty, but the court essentially was saying there is no law, and maybe there should be.
Well, that's ENDA. That's why we need ENDA.
Yep.
So, wait a minute.
Blacks are covered, but gays are not.
Basically, in court, they said we can't look at this because there is no legal protection in law for discrimination against on the basis of sexual orientation.
Federally, absolutely not. In municipalities, there is, but not federally. But this is a Coca-Cola company.
Well, also, the decision said harassment on the basis of sexual orientation has no place in our society. And then, but there is no law.
But we can't make a law. We're the judicial branch.
That's the way it works.
You have to go to the legislature.
So in its own way, I consider this a positive thing, because even though the judge threw it out, because they have to be legalists. That's their job.
They also said there
should be, essentially. So I think it's positive.
Now, is the federal government cover its employees for sexual orientation?
I do not believe so.
I know, I thought Clinton did something, but I know there's definitely no, that's what ENDA, that's why we need ENDA. It's the national version.
Or something like ENDA. That's as close as we've come, is the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, or ENDA.
Yeah.
Here's a story from London. Unfortunately, not so good news. British researchers have uncovered a previously unknown dark chapter in medicine, the forced torture of gays in the 1950s and 1960s to, quote, cure them. The researchers found that Britain's publicly funded National Health Service used electric shock treatment, hallucinogenic drugs, and other brainwashing techniques in its treatment of gays, what is generally called aversion therapy.
Weren't they using that here around the same time, perchance?
It's a matter of national policy, but then the British health system is set up in a very different way.
No, in the 50s they were doing lobotomies, all sorts of aversion therapy, and I'm sure some including shocks in the mental hospitals. So spooky. You could have been born 50 years earlier and be very messed with.
Yeah.
Dr. Glenn Smith, a social scientist based at the Royal Free and University College Medical School in London, interviewed 26 gays who underwent these techniques either through coercion or in response to the social pressures of the day, quote unquote, and 20 psychiatrists and psychologists who carried them out. Smith said that in some cases electric shock treatment was used in association with a picture of a semi-nude male on an overhead projector. It followed the Pavlov theory with a picture of a semi-naked woman as the reward.
They got bad shots when they looked at the man and got...
This is a guy sitting in the
cookies?
Chair. Cookies? No, they weren't showing cookies.
No, I mean when they showed the woman, did they give him cookies?
I guess they turned off the electricity.
Oh. Yeah. But who did the study?
Dr. Glenn Smith, social scientist based at the Royal Free and University College, apparently was the one who spearheaded the study.
I wonder if it's X amount of years later, if any of the people that went through these testings are still alive or around.
Well, yeah, they interviewed some of the people who had actually gone through the treatment, quote unquote.
I wish they would get a lot of money, like Sue.
Doesn't say. Now, some good news, okay?
From San Francisco.
Good.
Amid accusations of bias against crossdressers and transsexuals, the San Francisco Police Department has agreed to train new recruits and veteran officers to be more sensitive to the issues of transgender people. The move comes at the request of community activists in the Office of Citizen Complaints, the city's official police watchdog agency, concerned that officers have been less than respectful of transgender people.
Yay! I say very nice wording and stuff, but whether they actually...
Now, San Francisco has been very progressive.
A month ago they started paying for SRS, right?
For city employees, yes.
Yeah, from city employees.
And they've had transgender representation on the Human Rights Commission in San Francisco for some time now. Particularly what they were concerned about were the harassment of transgender people on the street, because, especially in some areas like the Tenderloin area, the assumption is that if you're visibly T, that you're there as a business girl, which most of them probably are.
And several activists said they were stopped, and it was assumed they were.
Well, isn't that a lot of assumption that if somebody is seen as transgender? Because Nancy was once saying that she had gone down to New Orleans, and she was with, I guess, maybe her partner before Gordine. I mean, this was a few years ago.
Yeah.
And
probably Mariette.
Yeah, I think it was Mariette. And they were sitting at a restaurant or some bar, and somebody came up and, like, propositioned Nancy.
That's nice, huh?
Yeah.
Isn't that just special?
Well, is that too terribly different from Nancy and Gordine sitting in a restaurant and guys coming up saying, "Hey, honey, are you alone?
Are you too alone?" No, but see, they probably read them as lesbians or as, I don't know, as pretty women sitting alone.
Walking
but,
down
but
the
But it takes
street.
A lot of nerve to come up to one woman out of two and
say, "Are you alone?"
One.
That would be silly.
Hey.
Here's a story you will love, Marcia.
No, yeah. I've been waiting.
Starbucks' faithful dreaming of a Monday morning jolt found a frustrating reality at 14 Chicago Starbucks shops when they discovered that someone had squirted crazy glue in the door locks. It took one store 4 hours to get open again.
Eat birds, corporate capitalist pigs. Yeah.
Told you'd like that one.
Can I rant about the commercials of the movie?
Briefly, sure. Go ahead.
There were commercials in front of the movie. I hate it. Corporate takeover. That's enough.
You mean like before
there was a commercial for telephone service. There was a commercial for shampoo at the movies.
Before the previews, they ran actual ads.
I don't pay $8.50 for commercials. I see them on the buses. I see them on the schoolyard.
Well, isn't the originally when cable first started, wasn't it like, here you paid so much a month and you got TV with no commercials, and now you get this cable and you pay for it and you still get TV with commercials?
Yeah, but the movies, you pay for the movies. It's a special experience. Okay, that's enough.
Okay, we need to move along. So here's the moment we've all been waiting for, the final story, and this is Gender Talk on WNBR in Cambridge. A former Hooters waitress has sued the restaurant where she worked, saying she was promised a new Toyota for winning the beer sales contest. Jody Berry, 26, won a contest to see who could sell the most beer in April at the Hooters in Panama City Beach. She said the top-selling waitresses from each Hooters restaurant in the area were entered into a drawing and her name was picked. She believed that she'd won a new car. She was blindfolded and led to the restaurant parking lot where her blindfold was removed, and she found that she was not the winner of a Toyota, but a toy
Yoda.
They gave her a little green Yoda. And she was ripped.
Oh, I don't blame her.
And she
hey,
is suing.
We said we'd give you a toy Yoda, and we gave you a toy Yoda.
Inside the restaurant, the manager was laughing, but she wasn't. A corporation cannot lead their employees on like that, she said.
That ought to teach you. Don't work for a restaurant whose name is a pun on a body part.
She is suing Gulf Coast Wings Incorporated, owners of the restaurant, alleging breach of contract and fraudulent misrepresentation. Her lawyer, Stephen West of Pensacola, said he was also looking at false advertising. She said she is seeking as compensation the cost of a new Toyota.
Toyota, one word.
Maybe she should go for a Nissan or something that they can't make a pun on.
They'll find a Nissan.
Ooh.
I like that. Actually, it's pretty funny. A Toyota.
Try it on your nephews at Christmas.
Because I mentioned I scooped kitty poop.
Our culture is so crazy about their poop. It's animal poop that creates the earth.
Well, honey, it's also leaves and other kinds of matter.
But what are leaves but the poop of trees? It's all that material that you leave behind that's food for that which comes. Anyway, God, I'm waxing so spiritual. Shoot me, please.
Quick! Now, that was spiritual?
I don't know. Anyway.
If you're looking to found a new religion with that theology, dear, don't quit your day job.
Where do transsexuals have the biggest problem? Where are people the most messed up about gender? In the bathrooms. We're more hung up about the issue of pooping, how we poop, when we poop, and all of that. We're hung up. That's one of our biggest hang-ups of the culture. I'm not here to talk about poop. I don't want to talk about it. I'm just as hung up as anybody else.
It was me that brought up the poop.
Was it you?
Yeah, because I mentioned I scooped kitty poop.
Right. Hey, our bodies are just parts of nature. Get used to it. These are natural functions. Let's not fetishize them and get so crazy about them.
Welcome to Poop Talk.
Anyway.
Gender Talk, number 227, at gendertalk.com.
Okay, we have with us Ted Glick, who is the coordinator of the People's South for Justice and the national coordinator of the Independent Progressive Politics Network. Ted, welcome to Gender Talk.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Now that your big eyes are finally opened, now that you're wondering how must they feel, meaning them that you've chased across America's movie screens. Now that you're wondering, how can it be real?
Disrespect through the name-calling and the stereotyping of Native peoples in sports. We have right now the Atlanta Braves and the Cleveland Indians. The Cleveland Indians have this terrible symbol of Chief Arapaho, I believe, mm-hmm. is the name. He's a smiling caricature.
But the ones you called colorful, noble, and proud in your school propaganda, they starve in their splendor.
And of course, there's the fact that among indigenous people, they have the highest rate of poverty as a group within this society. I think it's somewhere around 50% of all indigenous people are living in poverty.
Pushed the wrens from their nests, stole their eggs, changed their story. The mockingbird sings it. It's all that she knows.
Well, the fact is that Christopher Columbus came over here looking for gold, looking for riches, looking for glory, and when he discovered, quote unquote, the islands in the Caribbean, he proceeded to go after those things.
That American history really began when Columbus set sail out of Europe.
They ordered all of the Taino people on that island that they needed to bring a certain quota of gold every 3 months, and if they didn't do it, their hands were cut off. And as a result of that kind of operation, within 50 years, virtually the entire population of that island was wiped out.
That's incredible.
And it was not like there were just a couple thousand people there. The estimates are there were anywhere from a quarter of a million up to a half a million people on that island. Well, I was mentioning in the Black Hills that there's a continuing battle because the Black Hills, which are by treaty supposed to be Indian land, are continually being encroached upon, and private and federal squatters are increasingly taking more and more of that land and preventing Native Americans from performing religious ceremonies in that area, which is, again, a very sacred area to them. In Oklahoma, there is an effort underway in Congress to get rid of, to wipe out the legal rights of the Cheyenne and Arapaho tribes to their lands and around Fort Reno. It's just a number of instances, one after.
You've asked for my comment, I simply will render. My country is of thy people, your dying.
One thing I can tell you is...
I want the people to know that they still have 2 out of 3 branches of the government working for them, and that ain't bad.
Look, the Constitution on an edge-escape!
Still open for suggestions.
One of the prime principles of political and social activism, learned from Gandhi and Martin Luther King, is that small minds and oppression are their own worst enemies. Let them talk, let them act. By their own words shall we know them. By their own breath will be born the winds of change.
One thing I can tell you is you got to be free. Come together right now. Over me.
To the far left on your radio dial, WMBR in Cambridge.
Good evening. I'm Hal Fuller, and this is Gender Talk. Hello again, gluttons for punishment. Welcome to Gender Talk, Boston's worldwide radio show that talks about transgenderism in the first person. Each week we bring you news, happenings, and new voices that challenge traditional views of gender, and so much more. Nancy and Gordine are still creeping their way across America, cats in tow, doubtless having new adventures in their own gendered way. Karen Larson and I are still here holding down the fort and bringing you Gender Talk Gym, some of the best of our past guests and interviews. Tonight we will revisit the Right Honorable Congressman Barney Frank talking about prejudice, politics, and participation. Author Stephen Hill telling us how economics shapes sexuality and self-image, and a delightful and insightful visit with trans activist emeritus Dallas Denny, who will share her vision and perspective on transgender issues. And because our perspective is slightly skewed, we'll have the twisted nasty news, happenings round and out, and whatever else comes to mouth and ear, tonight on Gender Talk. Hello, everybody.
Hey. I thought we were the gems, being you and I, rather than the old, like, recordings that we're playing.
Well, I think we need some introductions all around.
Yeah, especially since there's some other voices mulling around here.
I thought I was being really quiet.
Well, you were up till now.
Being that you're pie, you are being quiet.
The voice you're hearing is that of Peter Choice, one of Boston's most outrageous radio personalities.
Right, yeah.
Fairly legal in most states.
And lovingly known as Petey Pie.
Is that why you call me Pie?
Yeah.
No, it had to do with the Pope, Pius, right?
No, it was Petey Pie.
Oh, well, I always thought that it was some reference to, like, that old Pope.
No, I thought it had something to do with edible things, like cherries and apples, alive, alive, ho.
Well, whatever. I think Karen's the only one that calls me Pie now, but I do like it.
And I believe we have Phonitude. Do we have Phonitude?
If he's Pie, what am I?
Marcia.
I'm...
echoing. Why?
Am I echoing? I'm Marcia.
Sounds kind of trippy.
Yeah, it's an interesting effect.
Actually, some of our pre-gender talk yappings here were rather interesting, I think.
You know, a lot of good conversations happen off the air.
Right before you're ready to go on, and it's like, wow, I wish we had this taped.
Right.
But it's like Zen, it disappears. Too trippy.
And if you try to recreate it, is it ever as good, Karen?
No, because then it's trying to copy yourself.
You'd be too shy to talk about that on the air, that subject.
Karen?
Wait, which
shy? Are we talking about the same person?
Which subject?
Shy. About dating and boys that are gay, and then all of a sudden they're straight on you.
Oh, yeah. We were having that conversation. See, Pie and I have go back way years.
So we were just doing a little catch-up.
Yeah, and we're the dummy hand, Marcia, you and I.
Well, Karen and I were discussing if the ending of Hedwig was real or not or what, and I said we should go on the web and see what other people think, because I don't think anybody knows.
Well, that's what you're getting, The Angry Inch.
Yes.
Which is a movie now. It used to be just a play, but it is now a movie and doing fairly well, and it has this very strange ending that everyone has. It's sort of a Rorschach test. No.
I was saying to Hal, that I thought the ending was kind of weak, the same way that, like, Rocky Horror Picture Show's ending was weak, and the same way that Tommy was weak. I paid attention to like three quarters of it, and toward the end, it just seemed to, I couldn't follow the plot or whatever was going on.
Yeah, but what is your normal attention span, Peter?
It's very bad. I usually have to go back to a movie two or three times. And thank God for the VCR where you can just sit there and rewind and light up
Slow-mo
one.
And they walked into the sunset holding hands.
It was a walk into the sunset kind of thing, wasn't it?
Well,
no,
it was a walk into the alley naked. Oops, I gave it away.
Uh-oh. Yeah, but I don't think that could be any.
It was a come out of the port of what kind of...
Come out of the port of sand holding hands, yes.
And if you're going to be naked at the end of the movie, especially a movie like that, can we have a full frontal? I mean, we have an ass. I mean, come on. Everyone has an ass. Why is he showing us his ass?
I like the little black underpants.
I wanted to see the inch.
Well, see, that's why they didn't do it, because...
Well, see, that's why they left it open for a sequel.
Yeah. You know how Marky Mark, at the end of the Boogie Nights, he had like 16 inches, whatever. But
no, like in Blair Witch, if you show it, it's less spooky than if you don't show it.
I suppose, but still.
But
it should have made a prosthetic inch.
No, in Blair Witch, it's spookier if you don't watch it. If you don't see the movie, it's a lot better.
I didn't.
I did.
Well, are we having fun?
I saw it, but I didn't. I couldn't retain my my concentration.
See, now, my concentration was fine, but I was confused at the end of Hedwig, and I thought, well, like, is it just me?
No.
Hal, did you see the play?
Yes.
And was it the same ending in the play? Because remember how the movie hair was way different from the play? The movie screwed everything
up.
Well,
what they did in the play was a confusion as to whether Hedwig and Tommy were, in fact, the same person, or at least Marcia, is that what you got out of the play as well?
I thought, yeah, I like that one. I like that.
That's...
No, there really was. Have you ever seen these two people together?
Yeah.
Of course, I can't do that in the movie because you see them together.
Yeah, you do see them. Yeah, so,
but you never do in the play.
Yeah.
And also in the play, they showed that Itchcock was a woman all the time and ended up wearing the wig.
Oh, okay. The,
you know, the kind of funky bearded dude with the...
That was actually... Was always in love with Hedwig through the whole thing.
Well, love, hate. I mean, nobody treated anyone real well in this thing.
I was saying, so he's not definitely a he, even though he had a beard? And I'm lost.
Yeah,
I have to see that again. I like the songs. I could sit through that for another 20 times.
Yeah.
By the 20th time, I might actually understand it.
What were your favorite songs, Peter?
I like the one about... I like the punk songs, you know, being a punk rock DJ. I like the one... Very funny song, like fourth one in about his angry inch. I think it's
called The Angry Inch.
Yeah, that was a good song.
See, that's the one I'll play for my mother. I've got a Barbie doll crotch.
Well, I also thought it was funny that it was like, okay, there's Hedwig, and then he called the band The Angry Inch.
Right. I like the narration and the sound effects to a lot of the songs.
I like the animation. It was so cute.
So now I hope we haven't wrecked this movie for anybody.
I don't think we've given anything away except that the ending is open to interpretation.
Yeah.
And you can pretty much have... Now, my take on it is it's really sort of a death and transfiguration thing, whether anyone died or not. It's Hedwig came to himself. In fact, at the ending, he looked very much like Hans.
Yeah.
But whole.
He looked like Hans?
He had same hairdo.
Originally.
With the same frosted strands. Oops, we're giving away too much.
Stop.
Remember, there's only 7 essential plot lines, right, to any particular play.
Send your solutions to Question of the Week.
Well, that's it. If anyone has seen Hedwig and has their own interpretation of the movie.
Version, Answer of the Week.
And tell us what you think. How often do you get... You can just tell us where to go, not that we'll go there.
But my favorite part, seriously, was the person at the end, who might have been Hans or might have been Hedwig, crying, being vulnerable, and wearing no frou-frou.
In fact, wearing nothing.
Being vulnerable, which, when do you see that in Hollywood movies? So I thought I'd like that. It was very different.
Well, that was our interpretation of the week. Now I think we should move on to our question of the week.
Oh, yeah, okay.
To tell you the truth, I can't really remember that much of the movie.
It's okay. We're moving.
We're going on to the next
along.
Topic now.
Good. Thank God.
You pick, Karen.
I don't want to blow it as guest host.
Should I read that two-part question?
Is it a two-part or is it two questions?
It's open to impersonation.
Just start.
Okay. When a person decides to go through the sex operation, I often hear that the person say that he or she feels that he or she belongs to the particular gender. What does feels imply? Well, I think feels is that gut thing in your belly.
In the belly? No,
you know
in
that,
the heart?
Like, in the heart, yeah.
You know, that's in the belly, though.
Feels.
Oh, as opposed to knows, as opposed to thinks?
As opposed to what they've been all their life and they want to get back to through an operation.
Well, can you feel like an Italian if you're not? That's a good question. But there are two very polarized and pretty stupid roles, one for men and one for women, and it makes sense that if somebody just automatically wants to, as we would say, play with dolls if you're a boy and wear a pink silly apron, that the way we can say that linguistically is that boy feels like a girl. But in a culture where everybody did whatever they wanted, there would be no need for that concept. Oh, well.
Maybe feels implies just something's wrong.
It's identity, right?
Yeah.
Or that if you weren't feeling something, like if everything was right, then you wouldn't think about it.
Sounds like this is a person that's having doubts, like right as they're at the crucial stage and they're about to get the operation and all of a sudden the doubts come back again, like, oh.
It's unclear. This was sent in by Stephanie, and I'm not exactly sure what Stephanie meant.
By now, she could have had the operation.
And then the other part of it, which we have, I think, kind of hit on, is another statement that I also hear is, sex is between the legs and gender is between the ears. Is gender something that someone is born with? It might seem a stupid question, but I don't think that it is. So we're talking about nature and nurture here, and I think gender could be something you're born with, because John Colapinto's book, As Nature Made Him, they tried really hard to turn that little boy into a girl, and it just didn't work.
And that was something that I also saw, like, recreated on PBS. Is this a famous case?
Yeah, it was
a... something I heard on Gender Talk recently.
No, it was a famous case where there were the twin boys, and at first the circumcision
got botched
on one, so they were like, well...
And he had an angry inch.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even have an inch. They cut it right off.
Yep.
So they decide, well, you know, we botched this. We'll turn this little boy into a girl.
Yes.
Start from the beginning and just raise her. She never got raised as a boy, so we'll just raise her. And this poor person's whole life knew there was something wrong.
Well, we're talking about outsides and insides and biological package and family, physical family jewels versus identity. But if you know about intersex people, you know that there are some, that it's not all bipolar. So.
Well, there must be something beyond, physical stuff and genitalia, something that's in the mind.
Absolutely.
That we know that we're a male, not female.
Or we could even use the word soul.
And the soul, whatever that thing is up there that's unmeasurable.
Because with that poor little boy, they tried to, like, beat that kid into being a girl, and it just didn't work.
And it's true.
So what happened with him, Karen?
He ended up becoming, like, going through this whole life where he was, like, suicidal. Ended up, they finally told him the truth.
Yeah, who did
they
say? The parents finally told him?
The parents finally told him.
When he was, like, 17?
Yeah.
She?
Yeah.
I think that this was one of the cases that John Money at Johns Hopkins used as an example of how gender is a constructed thing, innate.
But then didn't follow through the whole way with the interview, like, took pictures and talked to them until they were like 8 or 9 and then just let the whole thing...
Besides his penis getting botched, he didn't grow breasts or anything. They didn't give him hormones.
Yeah, they were giving her, I think, yeah.
Secretly giving him, like, in her Ovaltine, they were secret, like... This person would have known then.
Well,
right?
You wonder where they are today and if they found transgender liberation they can do what they want to do.
At the end, the person had went back to living as a male, and he's married.
Got his inch back?
That
was never clear, huh?
There's more to a marriage than 6 inches.
Not much more.
And also the operation for the creation of a penis is not very good.
But it probably exists today. They probably could have made something out of nothing now.
So I'm going to go answer the door, but he's living as a male.
Thank you very much, Karen.
Here we are, internationally broadcasting. She has to go get the door.
Well,
what's the matter with that paid staff at WMBR?
I don't know, but you know, hey.
I don't know. We're going to cut their salary.
We've been doing the website. The Gender Talk website is so, so good.
Nancy and Gordina both.
Thanks, Nancy.
Oh, yeah.
Nancy.
No, they put an incredible amount of work on it.
Updated every week, and late-breaking news gets on there, like, immediately.
No, she's a good web mistress.
She really is.
Well, I think it's time.
We're talking
about Nancy, which, by the way, for the people out there in the listening audience or anyone listening on the web, Nancy and Gordine are supposed to be back next week.
They left New Mexico, and they're on their way here.
That is my understanding.
And they stopped along the way to check out a little bit of America.
Coming home to Cambridge.
Well, actually, kind of home to Cambridge, but they're living
in North. I know.
North Reading, I think.
Yeah, that's it.
Oops, I hope we didn't give anything away they don't want to be known. It's too late now, but then no one listens anyway. But you're going to listen now because it's time for the Gender Talk Twisted Nasty News.
What's my favorite part of the show, Karen?
It's certainly my favorite part of the show.
Well, my second favorite.
Okay.
Wait, what was your first?
No, I'm not saying it.
Okay.
This is my time. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the nation's fifth largest Protestant denomination, announced its first major study on homosexuality. Church leaders will specifically look into the possibility of blessing same-sex unions and ordaining openly gay and lesbian clergy. The measure was decided after several days of debate during the group's biennial meeting held in Indianapolis. The 1,039 voting members of the Church National Assembly opted to spend the next 4 years, which means they're delaying it as long as they possibly can, collecting, quote, biblical, theological, scientific, and practical materials on homosexuality before making a final recommendation for action in 2005.
I'm
a tremble. I'm going to hold my breath until then.
It's like the big dig in this decision are never going to be done.
And
you
this
know,
is for what, Unitarians?
No, they're evangelical. Oh, that's usually very right-wing.
Yeah, that's
so actually for them it is a progressive step.
I'm
amazed. Even looking at it.
Yeah, that's nice. They are paying attention. So they're going through the Bible to find out if it's pro or con or.
Yeah, but see, Presbyterians have already done it. Baptists have already done it. Episcopalians have. I mean, everyone's reinventing the same wheel, and the ones that don't want it will pick out the Bible quotes against it, and the ones that do want it will pick out the Bible quotes that say, "In Christ there is no male and female." So they should just pool everything.
I hear the cat talking in the background.
Yes, she does.
And with so many homosexual priests, you would think that they would help out,
Well, we're going to be talking about that a little bit later. Okay. In last week's news, in Massachusetts, the gay stepson of Jane Swift, the acting governor of Massachusetts, says that her opposition to same-sex marriage is hypocritical. Brian Hunt, 25, the son of Swift's husband, Chuck Hunt, told the Boston Globe that he believes the governor's position is politically motivated. Surprise?
Well, duh.
Yeah. Hey. He claims that his stepmother has been supportive of him in private, and she reportedly stands behind increased rights for gays and lesbians. And, as they say in the commercial sometimes, the next day, Jane Swift, acting governor of Massachusetts, said that she is providing domestic partnership benefits to gay and lesbian state employees.
Not just the rich ones.
But it had nothing to do with the interview with her gay stepson.
It's like this all came out about the same time that they found out that she and her husband lied on her marriage.
Yeah, I think that came out the day after.
Because of this kid said, by the way, you know, she's his fourth wife, and they said, what? So everything except that fact was less, so now they figured out all his ex-wives. Anyway, the kid really opened up a can of worms. And, yeah, she just so happened the next day to come out.
It had nothing to do with...
There was a quote from one, like his second wife saying, well, there are just certain men that need strong women to take care of them.
And several of them, apparently.
But she's still against gay marriage. So then there's this whole bunch of chorus of people saying, yeah, but she's so good compared to the rest of the country. And everyone else is saying, but she's so bad compared to the rest of Massachusetts. She is a Republican, let's not forget.
Right.
That's true, and I guess that was progressive.
I know we're not supposed to be partisan, but she's a progressive Republican, and she's against gay marriage in Massachusetts, where probably the most of the population wouldn't be. She could do it.
Okay, enough of that. Jane Swift. I'm not a Swift basher.
Let's have fun.
Yeah. Here's a few quickies.
Oh, boy.
A 30-year-old patient was awarded $2.1 million by a jury in Spokane, Washington, after evidence that neuropsychiatrist Donald Dudley, who unfortunately died before the trial, the psychiatrist, tried to chemically erase part of the man's brain and turn him into a trained killer.
What?
Uh-huh.
Chemically erase?
Part of the man's brain, sort of a chemical lobotomy. And in June, a medical board in Ontario found psychiatrist Raymond Danny. Now, this is not indicative of the entire of the psychiatric or mental health field. This is just a few people who did weird and silly things. Anyway, they found psychiatrist Raymond Danny liable, guilty of, quote, disgraceful conduct in treating a 53-year-old woman by disciplining her like a baby, giving her sodium amytal with vodka to improve her memory. Oh, yeah, that'll do it. And having her call him, quote,
Daddy.
Mommy Daddy Ray, unquote.
Hal?
Yes?
Where did you find these stories?
Spokane Spokesman Review, and it was also quoted in the National Post and the Daily Oklahoman. So it's been in several different...
Bad shrink.
Woohoo! Okay, at the Innovate 2001 Expo in London in July, British inventor David Morrow introduced what he called, quote, consent condoms, unquote, designed to protect men from charges of date rape in that each condom comes with a fingerprint-sensitive tab of paper on which the man's partner can acknowledge that the act is consensual.
That's a phase of condom.
Yeah. Morrow said the fingerprint is more reliable than oral assent, and that unlike a signature, is deliverable while the partner is in the throes of ecstasy.
Mm. Have you ever heard of somebody who's stronger taking somebody who's weaker and sticking their thumbprint on a piece of paper?
No.
The whole thing
is actually have heard of that. Okay. Here's one that I know someone will enjoy from London. Around 2,000 ballet-goers were evacuated from London's prestigious Royal Opera House when a backstage fire alarm went off, triggered by an exploding baked potato.
Wow!
Quote, there were wisps of smoke. It took firefighters a while to find the cause of that smoke, according to a London Fire Brigade spokesman. Eventually, they found a small kitchenette backstage in a microwave where, with the remains of an exploded potato. Yay! Okay, the moment you've all been waiting for, the final story. As soon as I find it.
The cat is panting.
She does that anyway. Okay, also from London. London's Steve Bennett continues his quest to become the world's most successful amateur rocket engineer, with all systems go for launching himself to space in a test flight to an altitude of 10,000 feet in 2003 on a venture that most professional engineers call foolhardy. The more that is known about Bennett's mission, he recently said it would be a rocket capsule made from a cement mixer with modern installation and a small computer, the more rocket scientists believe his launch will result in instant death. However, the louder the criticism, the more certain of himself Bennett professes to be. He'll still reject conventional preparations such as wind tunnel test and G-force test. He said, that is what the test flight is for.
That's what it's for, silly.
So if I die, I won't do it again.
He'll learn his lesson. And that's it for this edition of the Gender Talk Twisted Nasty News. Obviously, no rocket scientist here.
Not rocket science.
Not enough sex story this time, Al.
I'm sorry.
Potato story and a rocket story.
More sex, more sex. Oh, the show will have some, Peter.
I'm not going to touch that line. By the way, if you're wondering what you are listening to, this is Gender Talk on WNBR in Cambridge. And again, Nancy and Gordine will be back next week. We thank Peter Choice and Marcia Deal for being with us for the Twisted Nasty News in the beginning, and Hedwig and all of that good stuff.
For the Peanut Gallery.
And always, as always, Karen Larson for her participation and for the announcements, which will come later
here
in the show.
Right.
You're gonna love Clairol's new herbal essences, shampoos, and conditioners. You'll be overwhelmed by the organic herbs and all natural botanicals.
So good!
Washed in pure mountain water. And if you find that exciting, wait until you see your hair.
I want to get the shampoo she's using.
Clairol's new herbal essences, a totally organic experience.
Now, what were we selling there?
Were we having sex with our shampoo?
That is one of the most blatant use, and of course, it's tongue-in-cheek, and it's all camp, and we're all making fun of it. But basically, they're selling sex. At least they're being honest about it.
If you think that that half of what is on television and in the media is selling something other than sex, I think you're mistaken.
Instead of someone reaching for a lover, you reach for your buyer's ice cream and get all thrilled and have orgasm and feel like you're cheating.
Sex?
Hey, don't make fun of the buyer's ice cream.
It's a sex phobic. It's a sex repressive society. And it should be no surprise that in a sex phobic culture that we are sex starved, that most people are very unsatisfied with their sex lives. And if there's one thing, then, that you can sell to people, it's sex.
It's not in a bottle of shampoo, and it's not in a vat of ice cream.
I bought some of the shampoo, and it didn't do that for me. I'm sorry. I wasn't going, ew, and ah, while I was in the shower.
I think it's connecting with other people and yourself.
Gender Talk. Monday, 6:30 to 8. On WMVR in Cambridge. Gender Talk.
I want to get the shampoo she's using.
We got to run, but thanks for tuning in, some of you, for years. Thank you for your continuing support. As always, comments, questions, and suggestions, keep them clean, please. Most others are anatomically impossible. Anyway, suggestions can be sent to any of us. Nancy at gendertalk.com, Gordine at gendertalk.com, etc. for Karen and myself. And while you're online, check out the resources at ifge.org for support and even support groups in your area. Our thanks to Transgender Forum for hosting our vast archives. That's a lot of computer space and effort for them. And on behalf of our by now returned Nancy Nangeroni and Gordine McKenzie and Karen Larson and myself, Hal Fuller and our guest Marcia Deal and Peter Choice, goodbye, blessed be, and remember, Gender Talk is always appropriate. Good night, everybody.